I want to welcome you here this morning. We're worshiping God. We're praising God for his goodness. I'm glad that you are here, a part of that. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love being here with you. I'm grateful that you are here. If you would, much to the chagrin of our introverts, as you take your seats, if you would introduce yourself to somebody if you don't know them, kind of hunt around a little bit, walk across an aisle, turn around if you need to, give a little hug, fist pound, or handshake. All righty, go ahead and settle into your seats. Oh, we've got a great morning that's going to be unfolding. It's a little bit different morning than we typically have, and I want to set the stage for us. There's a couple of things I want to make sure come to your attention. One of those is inside your program, tons of great stuff in here. You're going to want to be a part of what God is doing through the life of our church. You get a great glimpse of that in the program here, and then follow up and take that step. Tucked within there, there's some, again, more information, but what I want to draw your attention to is the Live It, Share It card. This is a great way for you to let us know how we, as a leadership team, can serve you or pray for you or celebrate what God is doing in your life. Let us know what's going on. We love to pray for you. Again, that's our ministry leadership team. It's our elders. We've got a prayer team that prays for you. So go ahead and start filling that in and let us know on the backside how we can be praying for you. And when we receive our offering in a few minutes, this is where we'll collect those. So you can put that in the offering basket as it goes by. So I wanted to draw your attention to that. I also want to take a minute and talk about an important process that's been going on predominantly behind the scenes here. You might remember a couple of months ago, we as a congregation affirmed a nominating committee, and their charge was to, on our behalf as a congregation, on our behalf, they would find and nominate somebody to serve as an elder in the life of our church. Now, our council of elders is an important part of our leadership constellation as a church, and I serve with them, and I have grown to love these folks and their families, and I love the chance to serve with them. The Council of Elders plays a unique role in the life of our church. As a group, they provide spiritual oversight for us, kind of guarding doctrinal, theological, biblical purity. They provide financial oversight for us and sort of some of the organizational pieces of us as a church family, and they also provide strategic oversight for us and accountability. And so these elders are incredibly important people. And so the nominating committee has been praying. They have been discerning together and walking this journey in ways where they have experienced God's leadership in that, and they are ready to put an elder out for us for nomination. So now it's released from their hands into our hands as a church body. And the nominee that they have for eldership is John Record. Some of you may know John. You might recognize him if you're a part of our pantry, Saturday morning pantry. John is one of the first faces that you will see in there. He and his wife Bonnie have been a part of our church for almost 30 years, serving in a variety of different capacities, right now predominantly in that pantry ministry. As a matter of fact, some of you have asked me, how do I get involved? How do I begin to serve here? And I say, show up first and third Saturday, show up at 7:30, you walk through the door and you look for a man named John who's going to be sitting right there, and he will take it from there. That's the John that I've been pointing you to. He is a servant extraordinaire. He has exercised wisdom and leadership in a variety of settings, and I'm excited about his nomination. But again, this is now in our hands. Some of you don't know John. Maybe even many of you don't know John. You can get a quick snapshot of who he is. There's a document in the lobby, in the foyer, as you head out. You can grab that little bio sheet there. And then John is going to be around. Tag him in the commons in the couple of weeks to come and get to know him a little bit. And then use this time to pray and to discern what is God saying to you. In 2 weeks' time, as a part of our normal rhythm on Sunday mornings, we'll take that opportunity to vote and let God speak through us as a body as we complete this process of elder nomination. So again, you can get to know John a little bit through the bio and then reach out to him and get to know him a bit more as you engage in this discernment process as the body of Christ. Here we walk this road together. All right, so I wanted to make sure that I talked to you a little bit about that as we jump in this morning. As we turn to God's word, I would love to pray for us. So let's do that. Father, you are so good. You are so beautiful. You are so wise. And we need you. Would you reveal yourself to us, even in this little bit that we look in your word and we hear testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness, God, turn our faces towards you and change us, do something in us, stir in us this morning through the power of your spirit drawing near. We trust you, we love you. We know our love falls short, but we're going to say it anyway. God, we love you, and we give you ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, our morning is going to look a little different than it typically does, and we've got some guests who are going to be coming up here in just a moment, but I wanted to set the stage for us by looking in the Bible here at a specific passage in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Let me read it aloud for us. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Like so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. This is a text written by the Apostle Paul, and it was into a specific situation that he was speaking, but there's significant work that God does in us, even as we receive this word for ourselves. And so today we proclaim this beautiful truth that is true in Christ, and it is this: in a world that stinks, Jesus is shaping us as a beautiful, sweet aroma. In a world that stinks, Jesus is shaping us into a beautiful and sweet aroma. We don't have to take all that much time to think about the way that the world stinks. There's ways that you've experienced the stinkiness of the world. There's the ways that we watch it happen unfold in the news reels around us. This world, and when we're honest about it, like, we search so hard for the goodness of this world, but we've got to be honest about it. This world is moving towards death and decay. It is its bent. It is the direction that it's going. This world, the world in which we live, is governed by darkness. And into that darkness, the light has come. It was Jesus. And with Jesus came, he did something and continues to do something even in this day. So I love the picture that Paul is using as he's talking here. That first verse that we read there, verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. See, at the heart of this thing that God is doing in us is Christ himself. Jesus is the deal. There is no other deal but Jesus. It is the foundation and it is the essence of all that God does within us. And we see Christ being the anchor of this. And this particular phrase that he's using here is in Christ's triumphal procession. There's a very specific word picture, a mental picture that's coming to mind as Paul wrote this and that we can carry with ourselves. It is this victory procession of Christ as victor. So Christ, and we've talked a little bit about this over these past several weeks, Christ is the victorious king. He is the one who comes and rescues the captives. He sets the captives free. And then what happens to those captives as they are set free? They don't just run around willy-nilly in their new freedom. They actually join in the procession of Christ, in the victorious procession of Christ. So this picture that Paul is writing here is this triumphal procession of Christ as victor. And those who have been rescued join in that triumphal procession. And again, we see this in several other areas. It is in Christ. It is in Christ. Even in that last verse, like, who is worthy of this thing? And Paul says, in Christ we carry the very words of God forward. So it is all anchored, all centered on the person of Jesus Christ. And then what does that do? Like, what does that do in us and to us? Listen to the word that he's using there to describe it, aroma. In Christ's triumphal procession, he is making us an aroma, the aroma of Christ in this world. That's an interesting word, isn't it? It's not predominantly a cognitive word. We think about aromas, and aromas elicit a visceral response, don't we? And so there's the aroma of decay. If you've ever had a mouse die in your wall, in your house, and you cannot get to it, You have smelled the aroma of decay. You've come upon the squirrel that was dead under your grill and started going, whoa, right? If you've ever smelled it, you'd be like, oh, that's horrible. Like decay, death has a horrible aroma. And then you contrast that with some of you in the morning. You wake up and you're barely alive. You've barely got a pulse until you get to what? Coffee. Some of you are thinking, Jesus? No, coffee. And it's that first, like, oh, there's hope again. Right? This that coffee aroma, and it carries this aroma. I've always been fascinated by that. I do not like coffee. I'm not mature enough. Someday, maybe I will grow up. I wouldn't count on it. But someday, I hope for maturity enough to like coffee. But right now, I'm not mature enough. But I love the aroma of coffee, whether it's the fresh beans that Heidi grinds or the smell of it just fresh brewed. And it entices me. It pulls me in. It suckers me every time. And it's like, oh, this smells good. It must taste horrible, right? But like there's a power in aroma. There's a power in aroma. And there's an enticing in aroma. And we don't do it cognitively. It's an aroma that reaches us. It's something that we experience. It's something that we feel. It's even an ethos that we experience. And it can draw us in. And it's a visceral response, isn't it? It isn't even predominantly a cognitive response. It's a visceral response. And so in a world, and particularly in church world, we tend to do so much out of a cognitive learning and behavior and that sort of thing. But here Paul is talking about this visceral, and Jesus' work in us is holistic. There is cognitive, there is learning, there is behavior changes that take place. But there's also something that is beyond that, that is different than that, that is visceral in its nature. It's what we experience of Christ. And the world experiences the aroma of Christ through us. Through the way that we live. And it's not even predominantly an image of individualism. It's actually the image that Paul uses here is of a community of the rescued ones. It's a community of the redeemed ones that cultivates the aroma of Christ in this world. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about our culture together, that we as a church family, a Centerpoint Church, has a culture. It emerges out of how we behave together, how we live together. Some of these pieces are certainly aspirational as we hold them up. We wouldn't say, man, we are just killing it on all of these things. But yet it's also not just aspirational. It's not just the poster that goes on the wall, like maybe you have it working, like these are our cultural values, and you think to yourself, there's no way that we live by them. There's so many of these culture pieces that are emerging. They are a part of who we are, even as they are aspirational. And we've taken a look over these past number of weeks, and we've done so under the banner of axioms. Our connection team has got some cards. They're going to take a moment now and pass out to you. Guys, go ahead and move forward on that. And these cards are a summary of the axioms that we have talked about over the course of these past couple weeks. So we ask ourselves the question, how is God creating us to be an aroma that reflects him in the world? It's the culture that he creates here that is this aroma that the people around us are drawn into. It does something as we live these realities out. And so let's take a summary look at what these things are. And again, you're going to get your card in just a second, even as I talk us through these things. One of the first things that we talked about is the culture of gracious authenticity. Authenticity is a place where we can just be who we are. Maybe you've even heard the phrase, come as you are. That's a part of our culture. It's a part of the aroma of who we are. The phrase that we talked about that represented that is this notion that God is so real. Like, God is real. And he is so real that he meets us where we really are. When we come to him in pretense, when we come to him in fabricated plastic sort of ways, we can't meet him in that place. We only meet him where we really are. And so it fosters in us, not only in our relationship with God, but in our relationship with each other, this gracious authenticity. Another value that we talked about is selfless generosity. God's nature is generous. It's who he is. And we, as his beautiful aroma, reflect that selfless generosity. When we understand that the fullness of life, the life that he promised us, is lived in this rhythm of receiving abundantly and sharing extravagantly. Many times we kind of think of the culture around us that stands in out of that, which is the hoard, which is the gain, which is the keep. There's something that is counterculture to this selfless generosity that Jesus invites us into as we follow him in victorious procession. And it is this notion that we receive abundantly all that he has for us, and out of what he has done for us, we share extravagantly with those that we come into contact with. And that's that rhythm of life that he gives us that cultivates the selfless generosity. Humble dependence is another of these cultural pieces that he is building within us. Humble dependence. And the axiom we talked about is what God does through us, he also does in us. What God does through us, he also does in us. And we can even flip that around. What God does in us, he also does through us. In other words, we are participants in the activity of God in our life. It's not just that we shove God at people out there who need him. It's a work that he does in us and through us as we live our lives in humble dependence on him. This contagious joy. Contagious joy. And the axiom that goes with that is this: we are a family. You know, that family that sits around a table together, that laughs together, that serves together, that learns to live as children of the Father together. We are a family, but we are a family that is contagious in this nature of the joy that we share. We want to draw other people into this. So we are a family of servant missionaries, and it draws us into this contagious joy that God fosters amidst us. Courageous faith. We are not passive or idle, but rather in victorious procession following behind our rescuer, we will take bold and courageous steps to follow him wherever he will lead us, because God is always present and at work. There is nowhere that you can go to escape the presence and the work of God. Wherever we go, he is present at work, not just in these walls as we worship him together in church world, but as you go out, the places where you work, God is present at work. The place where you live, God is present and at work. Where you play ball, where your kids play ball, God is present and at work. Wherever you go, God is present and at work. And this courageous faith says, God, give me eyes to see where you're at work, and give me the courage to join you in what you're doing. A community that is fostered by courageous faith is a beautiful aroma in the world in which we live. Another one is whole life redemption. Whole life redemption. Jesus is doing something in the fullness of who we are. And it sometimes even messes with our perspective of what God is saving and what God is redeeming. Sometimes we think about it in terms of just like there's a small part of me, the soul, that gets saved and gets to live on forever. But there's something in the resurrection of Jesus. There was something bodily about the resurrection of Jesus. The promise of God culminates in new heaven, new earth. There's something that is beyond just kind of the disembodied soul that he's doing. It's a whole nature of what he's doing. We are whole people, and God's rescuing takes place in the wholeness of who we are. Now, this body that I have right now that I can touch and that tastes and hears and sees, that's not going to be what lasts forever. It's this new heaven, new earth, and even new body, new creation that we taste in the resurrected body that is his promise for us. But even now, when Jesus comes, Jesus announced what he was coming to do, and he continues to do this work in our midst. Jesus still rescues the lost, heals the broken, and frees the captive, because it is holistic in the nature of what he's doing. He is rescuing, healing, and freeing, even in this day, in us and through us in the world in which we live. It's this whole life redemption that we talk about. And then capped off last week with Ryan in this radical love, this radical, crazy love, far more powerful than tolerance or even acceptance. Radical love does something different. It does something different when we, like Jesus, welcome brokenness and celebrate redemption. We welcome brokenness and celebrate redemption. That was the love of Jesus. It chased after the broken. It chased after the lost. And when he found them, he drew them to himself, and they experienced redemption. So we don't celebrate brokenness. We also don't push it away. We welcome brokenness because we're all bringing our brokenness. Some of it might be more easy to see than others, but we all carry our brokenness. And he has come after us. And we carry that same humility in his process of rescuing others. And so we welcome brokenness, but we move towards and we celebrate redemption, kind of that whole life redemption. That's a reflection of his love. as we look at these cultural pieces that we've just begun to name, these things are all grounded in the person of Christ. Again, we don't do this without the person of Jesus. But as Jesus is at work around us and in us and through us, we become, as Paul talks about here, a beautiful aroma, the aroma of Christ in the world, that as they begin to see and participate. See, we live in this culture that is distinct from the culture around us. In the culture around us, it cultivates greed and selfishness, and we stand in selfless generosity. We stand opposed to greed and selfishness. In radical love, we stand opposed to mere acceptance or even tolerance, but we push through to a radical love that is fueled by Jesus and Jesus alone. See, if we embrace the person of Christ, he will transform our lives. And as we together form a new community, it is a transformed community. And the culture that God shapes within us that makes us a beautiful aroma of Christ for the world around us is a culture that stands at odds. And you see that in this verse, don't you? For some, it is the culture of death. Right? As we stand at odds, there are those who would look and say, "You're foolish. You're ridiculous. It's a fairy tale." But for those who are being rescued, it is the aroma of life. See, God is at work. God is present in and through us. And together we are being cultivated as a beautiful aroma for the world, that they might be captured, not by us, but by Him. That they might be drawn in, not to us, but to Him. Jesus is the victor. We, those of us who have said yes to him and have received his grace and forgiveness, we are the rescued ones who follow in procession, in victorious procession, and we are the ones that he is instilling himself in. He is building us, he is shaping us, that we would be a beautiful and sweet aroma to the world around us. It would be that people. In just a couple of minutes, some of the guys from Teen Challenge locally here in Manchester are going to come up, and they're going to lead us in some worship stuff, and they're going to share stories about how Jesus has transformed them. It's a powerful, it's a beautiful thing that we see as they share their stories. But I want to say something about this. Sometimes it's easy for us to sit in the chairs, and the guys are up here, and you're like, "Oh man, that's amazing, that's powerful, like that's there." And I'm glad that we help support that. I'm glad that we have them come in. As they share their stories, let's celebrate what God is doing in them specifically. And we can be thankful for the relationship that we've got with a ministry and like Teen Challenge and these guys in specific. But let us also be drawn to this place where this is what he has done for me. This is what he has done for me. The redemption, the healing that these guys talk about is the healing that he has done, is doing, and will do in us. So this is a full-on celebration of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. As they come and get themselves set, our connections team is going to pass the offering baskets by. This is a great time for us to worship God through giving, that practice of selfless generosity. This is one of the ways that we practice that. If you'd rather give online, there's ways you can do that listed in the program, so you can check that out and text it or do it online. Turn in your Live It Share It card as those basket goes by as well. And as we do that together, let's welcome Teen Challenge as they come and lead us.